Hey gamers, welcome to part two of our episode. If you missed the first part of this episode, stop what you're doing and go back and check out part one on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to RP Gamer Podcast. Without further ado, let's get started with part two. So, Bopper, we've talked about Final Fantasy, we've talked about Metroid, we've talked about platformers and whatnot. I think if we just kind of had to like glance over the gist of how different genres of gaming handle water levels, what kind of separates them? Especially, I know you were just on a big Final Fantasy kick, like where you consumed the full library of Final Fantasy in 3 months.
Over the course of it was 7 months. Over 7 months.
Oh, seven. Okay.
It was June to December 2023. I beat all of the mainline games except for 11 and 14.
Right.
Because those are, you know, obviously different.
So from racing games to platformers to RPGs, like, how are you kind of noticing the different ways that like the water level or water worlds would be handled?
So to me, like when I look at Final Fantasy, especially like 1 through 5, 7, 8 doesn't, or 6 doesn't really do a whole lot with the water.
It's like 1 tiny segment where you do
8. Any Final Fantasy where you get a boat. One of the things that I love about the way they handle water levels is that water is, it's like the natural restrictor of your movement. So the way your movement around the world progresses and opens up is almost entirely tied to water. So you get in Final Fantasy 1, you're on an island, and then you have to get the bridge rebuilt to be able to move across it. Then you have to get the ship. And then some of the games you have to get canoes, which like Final Fantasy 2, you get the canoe, so then you can traverse more of the world, and then you can get the boat, and then you ultimately get the airship. I think the nature of water is like this guiding force where, okay, it's restricting my movement, then you get the new tool, and you look at the map, and you're saying, okay, well, here's the places I can now go. And because they're clearly differentiated, because you look and you see rivers and lakes, and you see the big oceans, and that helps, I think, drive where you're supposed to go. And I don't think that's just an RPG thing. I think some action adventure games also do it. Zelda does it. Zelda 1 does it with the raft, and you have the, obviously Wind Waker is a game where you're consumed with the water.
Yeah.
The water is your mode of transportation, which I know. Truly. Some people hate Wind Waker because it is empty. And if you are, I guess, always in need of constant action and stimulation and keys jangling in your face, you hate traversing the world. Yeah. But if you just like the vibes of being on a boat and sailing the waters, it's so good.
It's fucking great.
We just did a bonus XP episode on it because Scott beat it for the first time. He's trying to get through as many Zeldas as he can, and he fucking loved it because like the game is just such a joy to experience, and like everything is so bright and vibrant and like designed so well that like I don't mind. It's cool to be able to like just peace out and chill for a moment and think about what you're gonna do next instead of like, here's this random filler thing. Like, it's almost like they cut a lot of the filler things just to really hone in on the experience.
Yeah. And I guess last game I point to is an action adventure RPG, but even like something like Sekiro.
Oh, yeah.
It's just this brutal action game where, you know, because it is sort of this fusion action stealth, you know, ninja game. I loved it in Sekiro when I saw a body of water. Because I instantly knew, okay, there's a way I can sneak around. You know, I can swim around, get to a new
until you get to that giant fucking goldfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, From Software's.
You thought you were safe, huh?
Yeah.
Over-rely on anything in a From Software game, and there's going to be, like, they craft, like, a million jokes in each game.
Yes.
Just for people that over rely on certain things.
Yeah. Just troll you for sure.
Yeah.
One thing that I kind of notice in RPGs, I think it's kind of split on how they handle action underwater, where it's either your characters can unrealistically breathe.
Right.
Like forever underwater. Some of the earlier Final Fantasies are kind of guilty of that, and a lot of other turn-based RPGs. But all, on the flip side, there are some like Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy V where now all of a sudden you have a time limit underwater. Like when you're fighting Emerald Weapon, you have 20 minutes to do so unless you...
My palms just got sweaty.
Right. Unless you have the underwater materia. So it's interesting thinking on an RPG perspective, agreeing with like the boundaries that water is set, but like in some ways water is a factor, but then like in other ways it's not. I think one thing I liked in terms of an RPG, specifically Final Fantasy, was Final Fantasy X and how water was handled, because A, Blitzball. I love Blitzball. You can hate it if you want, whatever, it's fine. But
tedious. It's just so tedious.
I played sports in high school, so I think maybe that like it scratches that sports itch. But the boss battles, like in the underwater scenes in Final Fantasy X, I found interesting because you only had certain party members that knew how to swim. You had like Riku, Waka, and Titus, and those were the anytime you had anything underwater, those were the only three that could go there. And I kind of like that because it kind of played into not everybody would do this, you know. So even though like it's unlimited breathing or whatever, at the very least, like there's something thematic going in here about who can perform underwater, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I love the Final Fantasy X water. I think Blitzball, as an underwater side quest minigame, I think Blitzball just gets a bad rap strictly because the first time you have to play the one time the game makes you play Blitzball sucks.
Yeah, to a new player. You're pretty much guaranteed to lose. Like, well, you can win, but you're set to lose.
The problem is that I lost 1-0 in double overtime, so it was slog as well. Like, if I got my ass beat 8-0, it'd be like, okay, I'm just not good.
Yeah, it doesn't incentivize you to, like, play
shot.
Again.
Yeah.
Definitely doesn't incentivize you to, like, play it again, especially if you're like, oh, hey, this is really hard. Want to play it again? It's like, probably not, no. But I like the concept of Blitzball. I think that was really cool. I think, like not having to deal with oxygen is really nice too.
And I think Final Fantasy X is a good case to be made for water, expanding our scope of when we think about water in games. Because, you know, when I talk to people, so many people just go like, oh, Water Temple. Oh, Mario. You know, platformer. Mario 64. I think as someone who's lived their whole life pretty much entirely in landlocked areas, I've always had a fascination with the water and my opportunities to be on it or be around it. The sound of water, the sound of waves, the sound of rivers. I love the sound and the aesthetic of natural water. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a game like Final Fantasy X, that really is water themed. You know, Titus comes out of the water and he returns to the water. His sword is that water.
It's waterly water.
Yeah, it's the water blade or whatever they call it. I don't remember. You know, I really enjoy that. Same for even a platformer like Mario Sunshine, which I'm surprised hasn't come up.
Very water-based.
My personal favorite RPG with water as a central theme would be Chrono Cross. I love, I love everything about Chrono Cross's use of water. I love the environments. I love sailing in that game. I love just being in portside towns. Like that game nails water.
It's the narrative point too. Like. Mm-hmm. Is literally the diverging narrative point. So absolutely. First of all, work on your description. Like that was great for just like the importance of going and touching sun and touching water. I know one of my favorite places to go. I'm the exact same way. I love every year we have to go to Lake Michigan. I grew up off of the Great Lakes in Canada. I need to be near water at some point. And there's just something super like calming and soothing about just being off it. So
yeah, they call it blue minding when you're by water. Yeah, it's a phenomenon because your like heart rate slows and your breathing deepens and all that stuff. Yeah, it's an actual thing.
It is a great feeling. So we always try to make the trip up to Lake Michigan on the Michigan side, not the gross Illinois side
or the Indiana side. I grew up on Michigan and Indiana. Don't forget
that. You did too. On the tip of the Lake Wiener.
I did. I did.
Yeah. It's just really nice. Like do that. But yeah, that was great. I didn't realize how much water plays a factor in Final Fantasy X. And all the connections, so that was good.
Yeah, I just love anything that makes the I was in. Well, okay, on Lake Michigan, I've been to Lake Michigan, but only on the Chicago side.
Yeah,
and okay. It kind of sucks because there's not a lot of obviously it's a lake, so there's not going to be like big beaches or anything, but it's almost all concrete beachfronts in Chicago. I love Chicago; it is a fantastic city. They fucked up on the Lake Michigan part of it, but
There's just something about being like around a quaint water spot versus like a bustling water spot. And Chicago is very bustling. We're like anywhere along like Michigan on the Michigan side, they do nail the quaint really well.
Yeah, the better place is just go to the Shedd Aquarium and hang out with beluga whales.
Yes. It is my favorite museum in the world, by the way.
The Shedd Aquarium.
I love an aquarium and they do it so well.
Because I went to Shedd Aquarium and I went to the Field Museum and the Chicago Art Institute all within like 3 days. Now, that's other than the Shedd Aquarium that has nothing to do with water. What does have to do with water is the vibe of I was in Atlanta last year and I was in the Atlanta Museum of High Art or whatever they call it. I don't remember. The High Museum. And they have this Monet there. Called The Cliffs of Porville, Rough Sea. And I looked at it. It's not a huge painting, but seeing it in person, it's lived in my head ever since for like a year now. And any game that captures that vibe of the ocean that Monet captures, where we have like these rough waters, but it's in these very calming pastel colors. It's like this, it looks both like gently sketched and also roughly drawn. Anything like that, just I love with water, which goes to Chrono Cross and then also my favorite game of 2023, which was Dredge.
Great. Yeah, I adore Dredge. About Dredge.
Yes.
I'm wondering if that's why I like Stardew Valley fishing so much too. Like now that you're talking about blue minding, one of my favorite things to do in Stardew Valley is just fishing.
Absolutely.
And like spending the entire day off of one of the lakes or the ocean, and like just water joy, like flipping the script on how we feel about water elements in games. Like I could do that all day. Mm-hmm. It is just so wonderful to me.
So what's like your favorite water level or water game, I guess?
I think Shovel Knight does a really good job with water level. I think Mega Man-ish games in general do water okay. Like, yes, there are instant deaths abound, but I think that because it's really just your jump is higher, and that's more what you need to focus on, really doesn't make it as bad to process. And like Shovel Knight is just one of the most dialed in platforming experiences in general. I think they give you enough tools to make it through. So I think that's kind of what the difference is for that for me. I know I feel like I wouldn't normally say a platformer, but I'm going with that here. How about you guys?
I don't know if this is my favorite, but I've mentioned it. I guess this is more of a general category because I forgot it with genres, but I want to mention it now because I love it every time it shows up. Is shallow, waist-deep water sections in horror games.
Oh, thinking like that.
Resident Evil.
Yeah. Thinking Resident Evil 1, and especially the
You like the Sewer and 2 remake?
Oh, I love the Sewer and 2 remake. I love the I love the underground cave in the 4 remake.
Yes.
Because they fix no vista doors. I love the when you're in the waist-high water and you just see the eyes glow.
So creepy.
Oh, no.
The surface. It's okay. It's okay. That game's not scary because you play as Leon Kennedy. It can't be scary.
He can't do anything.
he's sort of there. There's nothing scary in Resident Evil 4 because you're Leon. But anything like that. But Resident Evil 1, especially because in Resident Evil 1, it's like one of the most anxious scenes is the way they expanded that in the remake. In the original, it's just sort of, oh, waist high water, and then there's the shark, and you just kind of leave. But in the remake of 1, you have obviously the shark that you have to electrocute with the control panel. Mm-hmm. But then you have the escape from the underground where you're on like the timer and you have to be throwing the switches to get the gates to actually drain the water so that you don't get flooded. It's very panic inducing. Mm-hmm. I love that section. And Resident Evil Village.
Fuck that section.
Resident Evil Village has a good water section too.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
though
that
it's
does.
Sort of on railroad.
What about the jet ski level at the end of 4?
So I mean that's just Resident Evil. Resident Evil 4 was such a vibe.
It was
like
so
I can't
good.
Believe they did what they did with that game.
Yeah, the remake's so good. They made it better. Like I do love the original, but they really like reinvented it versus just like a remaster remake. Like I thought they did such a good job on that.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much, but
all right. Hey,
yeah. Save that for the RP Gamer Season 7 horror remakes.
Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, but by then we'll have. Every remake will have its next remake coming out. Yeah.
Silent Hill.
The remake. I think I want to end this conversation of water levels on, or worlds, or games, or whatever, on the worst of the worst, because there are some fucked up water levels. So, like, let's kind of ping pong back and forth. What is a water level that you think, like, okay, yeah, this definitely fits the water levels are shit?
I'm gonna go with Clanker's Cavern in Banjo-Kazooie.
Why is it so bad? I actually haven't played Banjo.
I think it was one of those things where it's like they just didn't think about it enough, and they're like, "Ooh, we're in the world of 3D now. Now we can do water," mm-hmm. and it kind of has a lot of the like similar qualities as like the Jolly Roger Bay, but like worse, but not designed as well because it was Rare and not Nintendo. Who made
right.
it. So I just remember being like infinitely frustrated by that. And I remember also really hating the music in that one, which I feel like is very different than most water levels. Like I said previously about just how great water level music is. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Banjo-Kazooie, Clanker's Cavern.
All right. How about you, Bopper?
I'm struggling to come up with a specific one, but there's a type of water level that drives me crazy, which is anytime a game wants you to do a water level on a time limit where you have to hit markers.
Yes.
Go through rings, hit a bunch of things. I'm thinking Jack and Daxter 2 has some pretty horrible water sections where you have to water skateboard and hit like 100 items in order to complete the objective. And it sucks. It's terrible. Even in a game I really like, Mario Galaxy has a lot of really good water levels. Whenever you have to go through rings,
Galaxy is perfection, I honestly think.
Yeah.
But
if I had to vote for anything,
that would be the one.
Yeah. Other good water themed game would be Kingdom Hearts. I just saw it on the shelf, so I want to point it out. And Pokemon Gen 3. Anyways.
You said good or bad?
Good.
You think Kingdom Hearts has good water? That the musical in Kingdom Hearts 2 is good to you?
I never played Kingdom Hearts 2. I've played the first hour of Kingdom Hearts 1. That's it. So that's my entire frame of reference is on that island.
So in Kingdom Hearts 2, you no longer, when you're in under the sea, are battling. It is a full-on like rhythm button musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all it's I think it's garbo. If you stand that, that's fine, anyone who's listening, but like, ah, man, I just
drag her in the comments.
Yeah, like I could not. And Jace, if you're listening, fuck you. But
I'm surprised no one said Echo. I mean, that is a game I've never played.
That realm,
I've only seen
it's so bad.
I will never play it. Yeah,
I mean, I think it's one of those things where people regard as a Sega classic, and I'm like, why? Because you're a dolphin,
right?
You know, like it's just not a good game. I think a lot of games from that era aren't great. Like Earthworm Jim, I think is a great game, but
the
fucking
levels.
Water, oh, water oh levels God. In those. Are you familiar, Bopper?
I've never played Earthworm Jim.
So there's this one part. You know the game though,
yeah,
right?
I do know the game. Yeah.
where you are under the sea. It's kind of like a Bioshocky level, and tubes. You get in these glass like water traveling machines, and it's these narrow corridors, and every time you bump the side when you're trying to propel yourself through these like narrow corridors, you start breaking the glass, and eventually it's not intuitive, you can't like navigate very easily, and you just keep on bouncing and you shatter and you just die, and I think you only have so much time in this glass thing to get to the that part to like get out to, so you're just fucked. But I think that's my issue, is like tight windows in swimming I don't like. Like that the original Ninja Turtles had that seaweed electricity, and like it's impossible to get through without getting
burned. Was that on the NES?
Yeah, it was on the NES. It was before like the Ninja Turtles games were good and like just good beat 'em ups like they should be. They tried to it was this like weird actiony side scrolly but not good Ninja Turtles game, like sort of platformer, but it did this Mario-ish swimming level, but again very very tight corridors to swim through, and not only that, but all walls had electric seaweed just like shocking you as you're going, so anytime you got close you were taking damage. It's impossible,
just like the ocean. It's just like the real ocean
just shocking you.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah, did E.T. everywhere. Did E.T. have a water level? The E.T. game?
Did E.T. have a game?
Yeah.
How old are you? Are you sure I'm older than you? I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely are. Yeah, it's like it's like classically like there's like a documentary about it even. So like it was like one guy was like pressured to design and code it basically, and then he had to hit like a crazy deadline. It was like it goes down as like one of the worst games ever.
Yikes.
Just because of the timeline and resources and stuff, but anyways.
Yeah, and I'm not too familiar with water levels on Atari 2600 games.
Fuck off. We, on that note, are going to take a short break on our discussion of water levels, but while we are stepping away to go to the bathroom and get some water and get a little more proper and whatnot, why don't you head on over to our comment section and leave us a little comment on how we're doing and your thoughts on this episode. While you're there, make sure you hit the subscribe button, and we will be right back. And we're back for our middle segment, and today we are going to talk about the games that we are currently playing and having fun with, and hopefully not just grinding out videos with. So, Bopper, what are you currently playing now post Final Fantasy? What's going on?
Well, you worded the question kind of poorly, because the game I'm playing right now post Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh no! But also,
comes
out
soon.
Because the new one's coming out on February 29th. So I wanna be able to play a Final Fantasy game when it's new that I'm like a fan of going in. I guess obviously I played 16 when it was new, but I wasn't like Final Fantasy, you know, maniac. Going into it, I was just like, I hope this game's good going in.
Liking it?
I've been playing 7 Remake. I've been on and off with it, hot and cold. There's a lot of things in it I really, really love, and there are some things in it that I don't like very much.
Briefly, what are you vibing with and what aren't you vibing with?
I love the aesthetic design of the game. I love the architecture. I love the design of the world. I love the way everything looks. Just graphically, it's a really good game. Aesthetically, it's a really good game. I don't like the way they've rewritten Tifa and Aerith.
Okay.
Because
so you don't like confident, strong women? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like. I do not like confident, strong women that are rewritten to be Cloud's girlfriend, because Cloud is me, and now they're my girlfriends. Because
the first disc of Final Fantasy VII / like this part of the game is very shipping. Like, it's very focused on the shipping of Cloud with someone else. So I feel you there.
Yeah, like Tifa not being able to jump out of the moving train unless Cloud grabs her and safely right. jumps out with her. Just little details like that. I'm not a huge fan of like Tifa's first when she meets Aerith for the first time. She's like, you know, where who is she? Where'd she come from? And she's like, well, is that the extent of your all's relationship? I'm just like, barf. What did they do to the game I love? But you know, Barret's awesome. And
yeah. Barret is daddy. Yeah. He need, I'm curious to see what other attachments he has for that handgun is all I'm gonna say.
Drill dough? Well, are you talking about a drill dough?
Yes, Zachary.
Yeah, I'm ready for Red 13 and Vincent. Those are like my absolute favorite characters from
Vincent's not he's not playable in the next one.
What?
Yeah, he's not Red 13 is, but Vincent's not playable. They've already said
jail.
It.
Jail.
Huh. Yep.
Square so Enix Vincent, jail.
That's actually crazy. Because they make such a point of showing him off in the trailer. But
yes,
I guess they
yeah.
don't show him in gameplay. But yeah, love Barret and love. Now I like Barret. Barret's probably my favorite character in all of Final Fantasy, and I think they did a really good job with him in the remake.
Absolutely.
And then because I've absorbed so much time, I don't want to spend any time really talking about this. But I'm always playing a console game and a handheld game. It keeps me sane. Been playing Mother 3 for the first time in like a
nice.
Decade.
Nice.
Because I've been replaying the Mother series. So
would you recommend that Zach play that? Because he has not played it yet, but he's a huge Earthbound fan.
Love Earthbound.
I would recommend it.
I love it. I think it's great.
I feel like I'm a little I'm on a downswing with Mother 3 right now because I've been playing it simultaneously with 1 and 2, and I love Mother 1 and Earthbound and what they do so much, and Mother 3 not loving as much.
Okay.
But it is still very good.
So yeah, I gotta get to that one. Still A tier, but not the S tier of Mother
yeah,
1 and Mother 2.
Mother 3 is like striding that A, B tier, kind of, you know, go here, mm-hmm. go there. I don't know. I'd feel good with either, whereas Mother 1 and Earthbound, I think, are both like two of the best RPGs of their eras.
Yeah. Zachary, what are you playing right now?
What am I not playing? I feel like I have started so many games and just been like, I'll come back to that. So,
Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, that is one I want to get back into. I'm trying to be very patient with Baldur's Gate 3 and just like not burn myself out, because it's definitely not a game I would have picked up normally. But because of all the hype, because of the streamers I was watching that was playing it, like, you know, I got into it and I'm really enjoying it. But it's definitely one of those games that you play over time.
You don't want what happened to me to happen to you is what you're saying.
Did you fuck that mind flare? Is that what you did?
I fucked everything.
You fucked that tentacle, bitch.
Where games don't have meaning anymore since beating that game, where it like robbed me of my enjoyment of games.
That's how I felt after the Mass Effect series.
Fantasy VIII did to me.
Yeah, considering you just played like 16 Final Fantasies, that's Final Fantasy VIII, oof. I am still trying to platinum Bloodborne. I am getting very close.
So, oh my god,
good
Zachary.
Good luck.
I did it. Close. It's possible.
Yeah. I'm at the amygdala at the Defiled Chalice, and it's just the one shot.
Half health, right?
Yes, yeah, and he just one shots you a lot, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so annoying.
Are you using any of the summons to help you?
I haven't been trying to do that, just, you know, because easy mode, but like, I might have to. You know?
I never platinumed Bloodborne because of the Chalice Dungeons. I just didn't wanna I couldn't do it.
It's a lot. It's one of the like weakest components of that game, which I thought it could have been one of the coolest too, because they did do this whole like offshoot side thing. It's very, you know, the caves in Elden Ring. It's very much that, where it just kind of gets repetitive and like, okay, cool. But that game is so fucking good. So it's still my heart. And then playing Outward, a little game called Outward. That's fun.
Yeah.
Patrick and I've been streaming that one. I think that's kind of it. I mean, I'm also playing Monster Hunter Go or Monster Hunter Now, whatever the hell they put at the end of it, on mobile. I've been having a lot of fun with that. It's like Pokemon Go, but Monster Hunter. So that's been really fun.
Sounds great. question mark.
It's just something that I can look at when I'm pooping, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. So I'm playing Final Fantasy adjacent, so I'm playing Bravely Default 2 right now.
Nice.
I'm giving it a second chance, second go. I was editing some old podcast material of when David Vink was on our episode, and he at one point said I would suck a dick for a great job system, and I'm kind of I'm gonna get that tattooed on me. I think that's gonna be my first tattoo. I think Bravely Default, of anything that they don't do successfully, like their job system is very successful. So it's fun really honing in on that. And I've been watching a lot of, we have a few different YouTubers coming on this season, and that I've been absorbing their content and just listening to them gush about certain games. I want to go back through some games that I don't think I gave a fair chance to the first time I went through it, and really just kind of dig into it more and see if I get a better appreciation. So that's my mentality going into this one.
So,
but
there's
Popper, I think you would love. Okay,
there's a dick sucking class in Bravely Default 2.
That's basically what I said.
Okay.
Yeah, that's,
gotcha.
That's all you got of it.
Wow.
So I think also Popper, you would love Bravely Default.
I think I'll have to skip to Bravely Default 2 because I've been on and off playing a little bit of the first game. I have all three of them. I've been going through them in order, but if they got dick sucking class in 2, then
skip
I just gotta hop on that.
And we're back for part two of our episode. And as usual, this is where we would kind of cut ties with the beginning conversation and do something a little bit more creative and fun. So we are back to a Would You Rather, which I think, Bopper, every time you've been here, we've probably done a Would You Rather. I apologize for that. Well, next time you're on, we'll try and switch it up and make it something a little bit more.
Nah, these are fun. These are fun.
Yeah. But this time they will be focused on water levels. So what we're going to do is just pick a situation from any water level, water game, water world, whatever you want to call it. And we will compare it to another situation in gaming or in real life and just see what you would rather do. So
do it.
I kind of went through and phrased mine as which is worse, because I think that worked a little bit better for me. So this one for you two, my question is, which is worse, beating Final Fantasy VII's Emerald Weapon in the 20-minute timer or actually holding your breath underwater for 2 whole minutes?
Emerald Weapon.
Oh, holding Emerald. Your breath. Holding your breath.
Okay, please tell me why, because I'm curious.
Bopper, you go first.
I don't know. Just put 8 counter materias on Barret and have him use a limit break. That you've done in 45 seconds.
Oh, well, damn. I guess I need to go back and do that, because I must have did it the hard way.
Have him call in an airstrike and destroy Emerald Weapon.
Zachary, you think Emerald Weapon because...
Well, because I didn't know about this cheese.
Oh, but aside from that, what would have been...
My whole thing was just like, oh, I feel like I could train myself to hold my breath for 2 minutes underwater. Easier than trying to figure out something like Emerald Weapon. I just remember it being infinitely frustrated by mm-hmm. Emerald and Ruby as a kid. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of it too, where Bopper, you didn't play 7 as a kid, right?
No, I played it at 26 years old. So,
oh, right. Okay, yeah. I have not played Final Fantasy 7 since PlayStation 1.
I played it 3 months ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that was your first time?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'd played through the game once as like a teenager on PS1,
okay. Yeah.
But I never beat it. I stopped in the last cave before Sephiroth and then
Jesus
actually went and did it this time.
Did you get Bahamut Zero?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't do much of the side stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'm going to agree with you, Popper. Maybe I'm going to say Emerald Weapon because apparently there's a very easy way to do it and it doesn't risk your life in real life.
Why would you want to train yourself to have a real life skill when you could have an achievement on PlayStation?
Exactly. I really want to do free diving. That's my new hobby.
All right, Zachary, what do you have for us?
Would you rather have to beat Dark Link from the Water Temple with only Deku sticks or shave one eyebrow?
Oh, yeah, that's Deku sticks, I'd say.
Yeah, I would rather beat with Deku sticks too, because Deku sticks do the same damage as the Master Sword.
Yeah, but you had to hit them.
Yeah, but I mean, some people are actually good at games, Zachary. Listen, I mean, just because you're bald, just because you're bald everywhere else doesn't mean that the rest of us want to be bald. So
do you consider someone bald if they don't have eyebrows? So,
A part of them would be bald.
Yeah. Interesting. Hairless, bald. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe this is one where I got to replay Ocarina of Time because I haven't played it in, you know, 8-9 years. So maybe I'm remembering Dark Link as a more Mickey Mouse boss than he actually is. So
are you thinking it's Shadow Sora instead of?
Yeah. So I'm thinking it's easy, but like I could be so wrong and just embarrass myself trying to do it. So who knows?
I feel like people have done it, but I don't know. I feel just because of all the input reading that Dark Link does, I'm just like, oh my God, that sounds terrible. I'd rather just like zip up. Oh, there goes one eyebrow. Great. I don't know. Instant gratification.
definitely team beating Dark Link. If you can hold enough.
All right, here. Well, then, since that first question sucked, let me get you another one. What's a better song? The water level theme in Donkey Kong Country or Work Bitch by Britney Spears?
Oh. Are you going to be able to answer those, Bopper? Do you know either of those?
Yes, because I've played Donkey Kong Country. And like.
But do you know our Lord and Savior, Britney Spears?
I do know Britney Spears. And
I know of Mrs. Spears.
I mean, Britney Spears is not some obscure artist, so I'm trying to, like, I don't know how to answer that question. That's an impossible one.
I can't get rid of Work Bitch. I wouldn't be able to get through half of my workouts at the gym if I didn't have that song. So,
wait. So is the question one of them has to be gotten rid of, or just which one would you rather listen to in general?
Let's do one of them has to be erased from
delete
the annals of history. Yeah.
I could. The world has been rough on Britney. I couldn't do that to her because that was her resurgence. So
yeah, the water level in Donkey Kong Country can go, as much as that sucks to do. But that game's got so much good music, you almost wouldn't even miss it.
That's right.
It's a good point.
The pirate ship song in the second Donkey Kong is like constantly rent free in my mind. So, okay, I have a question for you guys, which I hope you can answer this one, Bopper, just because I don't know if you've played it, but which is worse, having to navigate the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles water level with the electric seaweed, or fighting a Resident Evil boss with only a knife?
Turtles, for sure. I feel like you can wait out the knife stuff a little bit easier and like be more tactical.
So I never played Ninja Turtles. I'm only familiar with it from Angry Video Game Nerd. I've seen it many times. I've seen it. There's a reason I've not played it, because I've seen it. And I would clearly much rather do knife-only Resident Evil, because I have done knife-only Resident Evil for several of the games. So just by my own life experience, we're going knife-only boss.
Yeah, can you stream that for me? Because I want to see that. I would like to see you do a knife-only run on Resident Evil game.
I've done knife-only for Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 1 Remake, and Resident Evil 4. So
I don't know how you guys... Like, the only game I think I could knife-only is Code Veronica. I mean, obviously, I'm not counting the final boss, because you need a ranged weapon for that. But, like... The knife hits 3 times on a downswing in that game. It's broken. But, like, the knife in the other games, really? Like, I don't know if I could do that.
Resident Evil 4's knife is really, really broken. Because you just have to know where the hitboxes are on the enemies.
No, like knife the face and kick.
Yeah, a knife the face, knife the knees. It just instantly does all the work. The bosses are tough, but that's it. Also, I've knife-onlyed Village.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So you've done a bunch of them then.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Knife only Village, though, is like kind of Mickey Mouse, because they give you like a superpower knife to do that challenge with. So I've never done it with just, you can't really do it with the base knives because of the durability.
Right.
All right. I have another question for you guys. Which is worse, trying to beat Chemical Plant Zone in Sonic 2 with the music that plays when you start running out of air, or trying to complete any task in under a minute with that same music playing? You know what I'm talking about when you start to drown.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm gonna go Sonic, just because I'm not a huge Sonic fan, and that sounds terrible. I feel like I could make my bed in a minute with that music playing. Or like,
you don't think that would cause you to freak out and stress out?
No. No.
I have attempted exactly one Sonic, 2D Sonic game. I've played Adventure, and I tried to play Sonic 1 and could not beat the first level because I'm trash at platformers. So whatever's going on in that chemical plant, I don't want to know.
It's literally like, we'll listen to it when we're done, but it is the most intense. It's almost like a Jaws song. Like, it's almost the song of the shark from Jaws. Like, but it's like a lot more high intensity, and it picks up the more you're drowning, and then you just give up and die.
Well, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, it's bad. It's rough. Okay.
Zach, I have one more. Yes. Yeah. This actually calls back to Resident Evil a little bit. Okay, so this is an IRL question. In real life, would you rather fight the shark from Resident Evil 1 or Jaws?
Is that not the same thing?
What?
No. Well, we're going... I'd go with the shark in Resident Evil 1. Assuming we're fighting them in the... Well, I don't know. That depends. Like... Are they both in the same arena? Like, are we boxing them, or are we going into the...
that's exactly where my mind went.
Or are we going into the arenas from Resident Evil and from Jaws? Because if we're dealing with Jaws and Neptune in Resident Evil 1, then I'm fighting Neptune because it's the easiest boss in that game.
You just shock the shit out of him.
Yeah, whereas... If I was getting in the ring with one, I'd take Jaws because Neptune's like a zombie shark hybrid super DNA thing.
See, I might be the other way around and do Jaws because, like, you could just throw dynamite in its mouth. But if it's Neptune, you got that, like, high intensity, I need to press all the buttons to get to him. Fuck, I don't remember what I'm supposed to hit in what order. Oh god, the glass just shattered. You know, I don't know
if
you're
really bad with your hands too.
Imagine doing that, but with the Sonic 2 music.
You would know. You said imagine doing math to Sonic 2 music.
Doing the Resident Evil Neptune puzzle with Sonic 2 music.
Oh my god. Or like the music from like Super Mario Brothers 2 when you fight one of the bosses, the
it's basically a worse version of that.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up our Would You Rather game and our episode on water levels. So first of all, Bopper, I want to thank you again for being a part of this with us, a part of this world.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, what is going on with you lately aside from tearing up Pokemon Gen 1?
The Final Fantasy grind is not over. I have... the big stuff I'm working on right now, obviously I would guess at this point now the Pokemon video is the most seen video on my channel by a fairly big margin. So I'm working on Gen 2, doing a Pokemon Gen 2 video. Working on what we'll probably see first though is my Final Fantasy main series retrospective.
Excited to start the fire of you liking Final Fantasy 13. I will start the war.
yes. There's going to be so much Final Fantasy 13 propaganda and Final Fantasy 8 propaganda in this retrospective, because
eight is fine with me. Yeah, I enjoy eight.
I liked every single game in the series a whole lot, including 15. So like I'm a sick freak when it comes to the series now, but I don't know when that's going to come out. It's going to be about 6 hours long. It's 53,000 words.
Yeah, I was going to say, you posted how many words it was on Twitter the other day.
Yeah, it's the final draft is 53,000, and it's so it's going to be a lot. It may or may not be divided into 16 videos that will come out like bi-weekly, or it'll be all at once, or. Actually, this is what everybody should watch out for. It will be 16 videos and then be uploaded also as one video a little while afterwards. So I reap every possible YouTube algorithmic benefit.
Repurpose that content.
Yes. So working on that, Pokemon Gen 2. And then I also have a video in the near future about Ys, that's
Ooh, the E-series?
Oh, well, just East 1 specifically. Okay. And then kind of beginnings of Mother and Chrono series that are going to be worked on, but that's more background noise while everything else gets finished up.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to you potentially starting streaming again. Is that going to happen?
Maybe. The Final Fantasy video right now is why I have not been streaming.
Sure.
Because I need those extra 8 hours a week to work on it.
We would love to hear your thoughts in the comments. We'd also love it if you liked and subscribed. If you want to be a part of the community, make sure you head on over to our Discord at HeyRPGamer. We have a great community there, and we have discussions going on every day. If you want to support us, you can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/RPGamer. We have a lot of good things that we give away to our subscribers, such as postcards. We also have a great Etsy store where you can pick up some of that merch as well. If you enjoyed listening to us, be on the lookout for our next podcast, the Wild Arms series, coming up in 2 weeks. We appreciate you all for listening and hope you had a great time. Now go out there and get gaming.